Quite a while ago, I was reading a book, and in that book, it began to speak of the love of God. And like many denominational writers do, he began to talk about the unconditional love of God. And by this, he and many others as well, believe that God loves all people, no matter how they behave. And oftentimes a parallel is drawn between a mother who loves her son no matter what evil he might have done. But as I was reading that book at that time, I don't recall ever reading in the scriptures where it says that God's love is unconditional. It talks about God's love extensively, but it doesn't say unconditional. Like, for instance, the passage that we read in Psalms 136. Yeah, it gave me all a tough one because every verse, all 26 verses, 26 times it says, God's steadfast love endures forever, or the variations of various translations. There has to be a reason for it. Every single line says that. It goes from talking about the creation through Israel's freedom from slavery to the conquering of Canaan. God's steadfast love endures. It's always there. And it will always be with us. In fact, the psalmist says in Psalms 23, take a look at Psalms 23, and in verse 6, Psalms 23 and verse 6, it says, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's going to stay with the believer for their entire life. And its extent of God's love is shown when Christ died for us. Because he died for us while we were sinners. While we were not in a lovable state. In Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we then know about love and God's love because of the demonstration of God's love. It has been shown from the creation, his care for his people, all the way to the present day. And John says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But that greatness of his love does not mean an unconditional acceptance of everyone. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say that God loves us while or if we remain sinners. See, God wants people to change. In Ezekiel chapter 18, Ezekiel 18 and in verse 23 says, do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, rather than that he should turn from his ways and live? That's what God wants. Down in verse 32, he says again, for I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord God. Therefore, repent and live. God doesn't want to have to destroy anyone. And in chapter 33 of Ezekiel, and in verse 11, say to them as I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel? In fact, the reason why this world continues to exist, we're told in part, is because God wants people to change. In 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3 and in verse 9. Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But notice the implication here. What happens if a person doesn't repent? God wants people to repent. He's patient to allow the world to continue so people can change. But what about the person who doesn't? Now, God's kindness leads people to repent. The very fact that he's showing us such generosity encourages people to change. Such as in, I'm jumping ahead. I want to get over to 1 Timothy first. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. God desires everyone to be saved as well. In verse 4 it says, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And his kindness, then, like I said, leads people to change. In Romans chapter 2 and in verse 4. Or you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourselves in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation. There's not the same outcome. God has love. God desires. God leads people to repent. But the answer is people have free choice and not everyone's going to change. We know, for instance, that God was patient with in the days of Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, it starts out with the fact that everyone was corrupt. It says the thoughts of man was on evil continually. That's the world he was dealing with. And yet, in the days of Noah, it says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 20, it says, who were once disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. God was patient with mankind. He warned them. He gave them a chance. I believe it says this, that he gave them 120 years to make a change while Noah was building that ark. And yet he still destroyed the world. Can we say that God didn't love the world? The answer is no, he did. That's why the warning was given. That's why Noah preached for 120 years to change people. God wanted to rescue as many as he could. But there's limits. God longs to be gracious to people. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah 30 and verse 18. Therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are those who long for him. God wants to save you. He's not like a lot of the people in the world believe, as somebody who's just waiting for an excuse to keep you out of heaven. It's the opposite. God longs for people to come. But people have to change. God's patient, but there has to be an end at some point, because he has to be just as well. What's hindering God from then showing the love that he wants to show? It's simply because man's too stubborn. And he stays in his sins. And yet, mankind's rejection of God doesn't nullify God's love for mankind in general, or for each one of us. Take a look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 3. What then shall, if some did not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? May it never be. Rather let God be found true and every man be found a liar, as is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? The God who inflicts wrath is not unrighteous, is he? I speak in human terms. May it never be, for otherwise, how will God judge the world? God is just. And it does, just because mankind rejects God, that doesn't change who God is. God still loves his people, but he's still just. And even though he demonstrated love through beyond full compassion toward mankind, he still demands that men believe in Christ, in him, and turn to him. And the greatest love that he's shown is the sacrifice of himself. Jesus mentions this in John 15. John 15 and in verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. The greatest demonstration of love is shown by laying down his life. He considers us friends. And of course, the famous passage in John chapter 3 and in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. God loved the world so great that he would sacrifice himself for us. But men are going to be judged. Not because that's what God wants it to happen, but because God says this is what justice demands. And men will be judged because of their love for evil. And so it comes back to the question of, is that love going to change us? Take a look again at Romans chapter 2. Or do you think lightly, in verse 4, or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. God's showing great love. is not unconditional love. It's love beyond what we can comprehend. But he's asking people to change. He gives people time. He's gone out of his way to show and demonstrate his love. But the question is, do we ignore it? We take it for granted? Or do we act on it and change our lives to conform to his? If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God and would like to pray with your brother on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.